This is exactly right.
Adulting is hard, but it doesn't have to be impossible. If you want to hear more about ways you can actually live your best life, check out How to Be a Better Human.
Each week, comedian Chris Duffy sits down with an expert to talk about the realistic and often unexpected ways you can improve your life.
This season on How to Be a Better Human, learn how thinking about death can actually make your life happier, why it's never too late to make a change, and more.
Find How to Be a Better Human wherever you get your podcasts. Michelle.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Adulting.
What are you yawning for?
People keep asking me why I'm yawning. And to be honest, I have shortness of breath.
Really?
Yeah, I have shortness of breath. It's what happens when you have anxiety. You have short breaths, and therefore you take in sips of oxygen, and so you yawn. And so people look at you and people look at me and think I'm bored or I'm tired. And no, not tired, not bored, just I have really big tits. I have a lot of things to carry on my chest, and sometimes it's just hard to breathe.
Yeah.
I have 4.5-year-old twins, 2 dogs, a mortgage, a loving relationship, a car that just had a flat tire that we had to fix. I got a bunion that just won't stop. I'm also allowed to yawn.
How are you not yawning more?
That's the question you should have started with, Jordan. Okay?
How am I?
Yeah, how are you?
I feel good today. I have had less pain getting up and getting down, but I still sigh and ache. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you get down on a couch and shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm not even in pain.
I know.
Why do that?
Because it's been a long life. It's been a long life. You know, it's about doing all the things, the mental gymnastics of what it's like to be an adult.
Yes.
And to give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's why the selfish aunties and stuff live to the 102 with nice nails.
We love her.
Yeah. You know, always trying to give you a handshake with a $5 bill. Not for you. That $5 isn't for you. It's for you to go get her cigarettes. Yeah, man.
Oh my God.
This sounds crazy because we obviously have to breathe to be alive, but I don't think we breathe enough. Like, we don't pay attention to our breath enough. So if we just take a minute to
Did you do a little meditation video? I feel like you did a meditation video.
No. When would I have time to ask me if I was brushing my teeth while I was taking a shower and ordering Uber Eats for people? Ask me that shit. A meditation video? No, bitch. No, bitch. What am I, Gwyneth Paltrow? I don't have a team of people to do shit for me, and therefore I can go meditate. No, the meditating is I hope I get to my destination on time.
Yeah.
And the meditating is, I hope my kids don't get COVID. Not because they would be in danger. They wouldn't. I just don't need them home from school. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You need them out there. Because you've made plans. And if they come home, oh my God, it's ruined.
I've even made plans to rest. Because resting can be productive.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, we are making noises when we get up and down. Because we've done it so many times. And we don't give ourselves enough attention and grace just to be still and breathe. That's all.
Woo! So you're saying it's not the years, it's the miles. I got you. I feel you. It's the miles. Yo.
I love it when you always bring it back to Texas. You better bring it back to Texas.
What did I do? How did I bring it back?
That just sounds like something somebody in Texas would say. And it could apply to anything. It could apply to sex. It could be applied to anything. That's the only thing I can think of. I'm like, anything.
Yeah, it ain't the years, it's the miles, baby. That's straight from Texas. It's true. I do have a lot of parlances, and I'm sorry. I whipped one out at a parent conference, parent-teacher, whatever, PTO meeting.
Yes, yes.
And I'm so sorry I did that. It was we were talking to some bureaucrat, and he was saying the new curriculum is working with the schools. And I was sir, you're trying to ride two horses with one ass, and that's one dog that's not going to hunt. You know, and people were like, huh? You know, but I'd had an edible before, so I was like, I'm gonna just be me.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, which is not what you want.
Wait a minute. You can have an edible and go to a parent teacher conference?
Absolutely.
To me, that sounds crazy. that sounds as painful as sobering up on a plane ride. It sounds like it's own special kind of hell. What?
No, I need it for my... You have anxieties. You have anxieties. I have anxieties. So I need it for my anxieties.
I know, but that would make me more anxious. I'm glad that it works for you.
Oh, man. It makes me like I'm the black member of the band Steely Dan. I feel like I'm so mellowed out. Like my backbone, it just becomes like whoop, 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 whoop. It's so good for me. I have to do it at the right time, of course. Like, I have to time it out.
Oh, my God.
Daddy needs his pills.
You are giving Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak as a tired dad, and I love it. Because it was just sounds and noises and just feelings within, like, a song. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Baron Vaughn, let me know.
Stop. We were separated at birth. You know we were separated at birth.
Oh, my God. If you guys don't know who Baron Vaughn is, please look him up. Yeah. He's a hilarious comedian and actor and musician. He sings and he raps and he's done Broadway. And so he rhymes a lot, what Jordan was just doing.
Yeah, that's Baron Vaughn. That's when you know he's coming down the street.
I have to tell you, I am very self-conscious around other parents. Like, I don't like it. Like, the school vibe.
Why?
I don't like it because everyone has such... there's no middle ground.
Okay.
Like, everyone has very strong opinions of, like, how it should go. Or people are just waiting in the back, waiting for it to be over so they can go home. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
It feels like there's no like middle ground conversation. Like each kid has its own personality and needs and stuff.
Yes.
My inner child is triggered because it takes me back to like a Thanksgiving dinner where it's like you're the loud person.
Yes.
Or the quiet person just waiting for Thanksgiving to be over and you hope no one picks on you. And so I don't have my group. I don't have my bag. When I started going to the dog park with my dogs, you know, I was new to having a dog and dog behavior. And so I kind of had to like find out who I was too. Cause I'm like, I'm going to keep her on the leash and over here. So like, what kind of parent are you in that situation?
Well, I'm going to just right there. I have to say like people at my school is so wonderfully quaint.
Yeah.
That I'm thought of as the cool, I'm the cool dad.
Oh.
And let that wash over you like a fine mist. And then...
But you are. Oh, it's misty in here. Okay.
So what you need to band together, and we've really banded together this year, what you need is a common enemy. Mm-hmm. The common enemy then takes all the demos together and it just brings them together so much. And we have a common enemy now. And we didn't know who we were as a people until it was almost like taken away from us. Now we're like, all the demos.
Got you.
You're over here. You're doing different stuff. My kids don't like your kids. We chill.
Yes. It's the long line of the DMV.
Yes.
Everybody has something to complain about.
That's it.
Got you. That's how I get through life.
That's it. It'll take time.
Okay.
An enemy will rise. And then you'll have to... Listen, you are like the great protagonist, Michelle. You need that countermeasure antagonist, that Darth Vader, and you will get it one day. You'll take them down and then they'll celebrate you as their queen. It'll be great. It's going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
I don't want the responsibility. I don't want the responsibility. Going into parent-teacher situations, especially in a group setting, everyone's expecting me to be on.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh no, I am not Miss Michelle Buteau, the comedian. I am Michelle, the mom.
Right.
What are you doing to help my child get through the day and make things better? Like, what are we doing?
Can I ask a few questions, though? A few penetrating questions.
Yes.
Like, what is a parent-teacher like for a four-year-old? Like, parent-teacher conference, four-year-olds, come on, what are we even getting into?
But that's the thing. Like, everyone has such high expectations.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to give you the Montessori...
I know what you mean.
Yeah, they want to give you all that to make sure, like, by the time they're 18, I'm like, I'm still trying to get them to wipe their asses properly. Like, can we just take a whole last second? Like, I want them to be good people and confident and kind. And so, while I do love that we are talking about nocturnal animals and how to, like, be responsible and to read and, like, numbers and stuff, I'm just like, yeah, but also, you know, be patient and... helpful.
Right. Are they being kind?
Yeah. And so, you know, everyone's so obsessed with curriculum. I'm just like, but your kid's an asshole.
Exactly. Because curriculum will, like, that changes over time. The pendulum swings one way or another. But what's not going to change is, like, everybody needs to learn to be, like, a good person. And if you want to be a good person, by the way, this randomly happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I watched The Golden Bachelor and oh my God. Did you watch that?
I haven't, but I also want to see the stand-up special that involves old people.
Yes.
Is that Joe Firestone?
Joe Firestone.
Like, I am here for this because I'm so here for it because I'm just like, where do they go? Like, it can't all be like Judi Dench. Like, we need to see what the other old folks are doing.
Right.
It can't be all Morgan Freeman. What are we all doing? Especially if they got the hip surgery and now they can fuck. I gotta see The Golden Bachelor. Ooh, is it sponsored by Viagra? It should be. That's what I'm saying. Like, I always tell ladies, like, definitely choose your partner wisely or break up with the one that's not working because you ain't gonna be wet forever. But The Golden Bachelor has proven me otherwise because these bitches are out here like, fuck menopause. It is still like the middle of a cinnamon donut. Moist!
Yes. Oh my God. I was not ready. Oh my God, I wasn't prepped.
I'm out of breath. I'm still out of breath. Out of breath, full of breast. Oh,
I was not prepped. Oh my God. So, in conclusion.
In conclusion, they should have called that show Sweet Green, because I'll tell you what. Tell you what. Ooh, baby. I just saw the previews. I can't wait to watch it.
Yes, it's all that. It's amazing. It'll grip you. It had me from the initial song, the beginning is Cat Stevens. He's touching the photograph of his dearly departed wife.
Oh.
Who he's with for 43 years. They built a dream house together. They moved away to Iowa. She tragically died of a bacterial infection. Okay, no spoilers there. I'm just saying that this should just be The Bachelor.
Yeah, it should.
Like, why are we watching all this other garbage? This should just be it.
100%.
Not people trying to build a brand or anything out there like that. It's just like people looking for love because they know that time is running out. And I was like,
that's my bag. That is my bag. Like, sure, it's entertaining, but once you have heart behind it and you can see yourself in there or like even understand what the future may or may not hold, ooh, baby.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to, you talk about common enemy, but this is like a common love, right? Like, this is how you bring the blue and red states together, you know?
Truly.
I love that. I even saw like a old black lady in there. I said, bitch, you better.
Oh, there's two.
Two? I can't believe it.
Gary can come to all the functions. Like, Gary gave two roses out.
Oh, Gare Bear.
Gare Bear is there. I was like, he's probably just going to pick one black. Well, two black ladies. All right. Here we go, Gary.
I love the name Gary.
Yeah.
Ronrico Lee played my husband in First Wives Club. Mm-hmm. And I love him so much. And his name was Gary in the show. And I used to call him Gare Bear. And he's like, please stop. And I'm like, I never will. And Gary actually is the most unpopular name in America.
I can see that. I can. Listen, my grandmother's name was Eunice.
Yes.
Yes. And the thing about it is my great aunt, who I dearly love, my great aunt Hazel, who my mother is named after.
Yeah.
In one of the family reunions, 2019, right after the birth of my children and things like that, like she was kind of upset a little bit. She was like, why has no one named a child in this family Eunice?
Oh, Lord.
After my sweet sister. Oh, and I was who's going to tell her? Ooh. Who's going to tell her?
I don't know. Somebody got to tell her. I do love bringing old names back. I mean, mm-hmm. my kids are named Hazel and Otis after my great-grandma Hazel. And then even my character in Survival of the Thickest.
You wrote it.
Yes, I wrote it.
There you go.
I wrote that. Yeah, thank you so much.
You see what I did for you?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Get it, girl.
Oh, my God. I'm going to fall over and I'm standing still.
I think we just unpacked that for you. I was like.
We did. I was like, what in the TSA pre-check is going on? I'm going right through.
Yeah.
The character I wrote's name is Mavis. Allegedly. Allegedly.
You don't have to do it that thick. You can do.
Don't come for me unless I send for you. Motherfuckers are out here like it's a housewife reunion, okay?
I know.
Pulling up receipts.
We're gonna consort with legal here for a second. Consult with legal. Okay. You're allowed to say that. Okay. Go ahead.
Great. Oh, thank you. Where'd you go to Reddit? You just asked your assistant.
Yeah,
I
went to subreddit, yeah.
Yeah, so I do love the old names. Also, Elvis Presley's mom was named Mavis, and that's like the only, and like Stapleton, of course, but like, yeah, I mean, there aren't many Mavises, but the ones that do exist, ooh, baby, fire, more fire.
More firepower, fire sign, fully clip loaded, okay.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Oh my God. I miss you, Michelle. You're on the road all the time.
I am.
You're in theaters. You're selling them out. You're doing wineries. What's up?
Yeah.
What's it been like? Tell me about the Delta Miles.
You know what's really nice? I was doing a show in Seattle at the Moore Theater.
Go on.
And I think the last time we were in Seattle, we actually did a live show of adulting at Bumbershoot Festival. So it was like a few years ago.
We were kids.
Yeah, it was so simple back then. And I have been doing comedy on a Wayfair rug in a theater for a very long time. And what was so sweet is that, I mean, the love has been overwhelming in a way that I don't mean to cry, but you know how a bitch is. Like, it's so nice when people are a fan, but also are like-minded people who just feel inspired. But what was really sweet is that someone yelled at me. They're like, "How's Jordan? We miss him."
What?
Yeah. Like, someone heckled me about how you are.
What did you tell them?
I was like, he's probably at home reading the New Yorker, taking care of his cute-ass kids.
All facts checked out. Didn't tell me that you were going to be in the New Yorker, which I was kind of like, tell somebody, please, that you're going to be in there.
First of all, you don't tell someone you're going to be in the New Yorker. That's insane.
Yo, you need to get a subscription to the New Yorker this week, like, because I might be in it.
No.
I would be old school buying them at the subway platform and then handing them out.
You would have a video. You would have... Yes, you would make it a moment, which that's why I love you. But no, for me, it's always been like, let the work speak for itself.
And she won't say it, but I'm going to say it right now. So it was written by Hilton Alls, who's like the major Broadway critic for The New Yorker. And he had nothing but kind words to say about you, about what you're trying to do with your comedy. It was fantastic. It was kind of like, it's what you want to hear. And you could tell that not only were they a fan, but they were giving a critical analysis of your artistic expression. So air horn for that. I'm just like, I was so proud of you. And I am so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Your wife sent me the cutest video of your daughter.
Yeah.
Just excited because she saw Hazel and Otis's name. By the way, your daughter's so cool. She's reading The New Yorker. What?
Yes. Yes, already. She comes up with cartoons. My daughter's 10 years old, but she comes up with editorial cartoons that could definitely, like, go. Like,
she should do it. Because I tell you what, when I was 10
yeah.
or 11, I used to make my own magazines at a construction paper. I lived in a cul-de-sac.
Oh, that's
and so
right.
I was like, we were really close with like the seven houses, like in that circle. And so I would make this magazine about all the happenings that like went down, like somebody's dog pooped.
Right.
I learned whatever, like somebody covered their pool. Like, you know, I just did all that stuff and I called it Head Over Heels. And then I put like I drew a severed head and like put it in a shoe, not an actual shoe, but like it was a sticker shoe. It was frightening, but I was just like very literal. And I put it in everyone's mailbox.
Listen.
For like, I guess a few times. And then like some people were like, "Hey, can you tell your daughter to stop putting shit in my mailbox?" And you know, obviously they didn't have any vision. Like, I hope they have a Netflix password, bitch.
Yeah.
But like, that's how it starts, right? Like you have these seeds,
yeah.
these germs, and it's like up to us to help them, you know, plant it and grow it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it so much.
And by the way, a friend of mine, Jeannie Rubin, came to your show in San Francisco. She brought her daughter. She was really excited about it. Me and Jeannie went to college together.
How old's her daughter?
She has a high school age daughter.
Okay.
I just want you to know that. And she's a faithful listener of this show. And she was really excited. She loved your show in San Francisco. Where did you perform in San Francisco, by the way?
I performed at the Castro Theater and we had two sold out shows and I was like,
oh, wow,
so fucking proud of myself. And there was even like a meet and greet.
Mm.
San Francisco is one of those towns, one of the only towns I think in America that feels like a home away from home. It isn't anywhere else. There is a vibe and a tribe and just like a progressive thing
yeah.
that I can't put my finger on. So the Bay Area can get it. I'm going to tell you that much. Ooh, baby. The Bay Area can get
the
it.
The Bay Area can get it? The whole thing? Oakland even?
The whole thing.
Oh my God.
Wrap it up like you just got it from a fucking food truck and take it home. Anyways, let's get to our guest. Because I feel like once I start doing like analogies with food and like kind of sex, it's just like move on.
I'm having too much fun listening though. But this is our cue. What should we say about our guest? What shall we say?
Oh my goodness. She's groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm. For her musical, Some Like It Hot, nominated for a Tony. She wrote the book on that. We can get more into that later. Also, Black writer on Seth Meyers, history making as well.
Yeah. She is going to be celebrated for Black History Month.
I believe it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyways, let's stop talking to each other and talk to her.
Yes.
Amber Ruffin.
Amber Ruffin!
Okay, let's take that down. That was a lot. Hi, Amber Ruffin. Welcome to adulting.
Hey! What's going on? Oh my gosh.
Bye. Goodbye, guys. Thanks, guys. Bye. This was fun. Goodbye.
Wow. But so much to talk about.
Bye. Bye. Got to drink all this.
The gallon of water.
Do you have a drug test?
Do people chug water for their drug test?
I used to chug. Bye-bye. So nice to see you guys. Bye. Don't worry about me.
Goodbye. But please, we need you to stay.
I used to chug from a jug when I would have a drug test.
Whoa.
Yeah, back in the day.
Flush you out.
In the 90s.
Dude, do people think I'm on drugs?
No.
Because I'm forever chugging water.
No, it's just to keep your skin fresh. We should all drink more water. Do you like the taste of water?
I love water very badly, and I am 100% sure I have a kidney problem. I'm like, there's nothing healthy about me.
Is that true?
There's got to be something wrong.
What are you talking about? You just chugged water in front of us. How is that not healthy?
And look at your skin.
You're glowing.
Yes, but I'm not drinking it to be healthy. I'm drinking it because I'm thirsty. And when you're thirsty all the time, something wrong.
Oh.
Anyway.
And it takes a simple water.
While we think about that.
Yeah, only I would take this good thing and make it something bad.
Not to be weird, but do you have to pee all the time?
100% of the day and night.
Yeah. I love water. I drink it all the time. I actually do like the taste of it. I like it cold. I like it warm. I like it hot.
Huh.
I like all types of water.
Go on.
But now, because I drink so much, I have to always book an aisle seat on an airplane.
Yeah.
Because I got to get up.
Yeah.
I'm tired of putting my ass in someone's face to try and cross over them.
Right.
They don't deserve it.
They don't. They don't.
It's true.
Yeah.
No, that also means you have good circulation, though.
You think so?
If the water's going in and out, it does mean you have good circulation.
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah. You work out, Amber? You work out?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to say.
You seem so fit.
You seem very fit.
I'm not.
You know what it is? Is it because you're bubbly? We think you just like are on a treadmill all the time?
It makes me seem small.
I get a jazzercise vibe from you, like you would do jazzercise.
It's giving neon shorts, front row Zumba. Come on, guys, grapevine. But it's none of that.
No, I can't. I can't. This is it. This is the maximum. I'm always here typing at this computer right here.
I was about to say, being a writer, right? And in those writer's rooms, like, how your back? Like, you got to touch your toes. Do you stand up and write? Like, nobody really can fully understand.
Yeah.
Because people that usually have desk jobs, no shade. You do what you do and you sort of like check out, right?
Yeah.
And you do what you got to do. But like being a writer in a writer's room with people trying to come up with ideas and use your brain, you got to listen to people's old ass stories about, let's like get to the point. Why did you take me on the 17-minute journey of a badass date when you just had a pitch that was two sentences? Like what?
The truth.
You're trying to make it the whole episode.
I'm not naming names, but you know who you are. Mm.
Yeah. Ooh.
So, yeah, how is your body, your mind, your spirit in a writer's room?
Yeah, your spurt. Talk about it.
My spurt.
Spirit.
I like to use work as a reason to go goof around.
Mm-hmm.
I love work. I love it so bad. But also, like, at late night, Seth, it is Montessori school.
Yeah.
Fucking, you could fully go lay down under your desk and people would be like, isn't that funny? They're sleeping. No one gives a shit.
Right.
Once I left and we went to go eat steaks, we were like, hey, a steak place opened up down the street. We fucking fully, 2 p.m. left.
Oh my God.
Went and had steaks and margaritas.
Wow.
You need it. It's giving Mad Men.
Yeah.
Do it.
I hope I get this account.
That was part of it. We were like, Mad Men used to do this shit all the time. Fuck this place. We're going to eat steaks.
People think you get really hungry when you work out. You get really hungry when you think a lot. It's a mental workout.
It's true. I know that sounds silly, but I'm hungry a lot. Because I'm sitting here going, and then he said this, and then that happened, and then.
Yeah.
So what's your process then? Like, do you wake up super early and then just start writing all day? Are you a by night person? Like, who are you?
Or is the process that you don't have no process? That could be a process too.
You know what I say a lot that can't possibly be well received, but I have no proof, is that I write when it is time to write.
Get him.
Ma'am.
That's it.
Ma'am. On it. Where's my tambourine?
What time is it? It's time to write. Where's Amber?
I'm putting a whole $5 bill in the collection basket because... It's true.
I know people are like, how do you get inspired and you got the goo and what is that? I go, I sit down and write the 2 hours that I have.
Uh-huh.
Those are writing hours and I fill them up because there's no more time and I got to go.
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of like ideas because.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, hey.
How'd you write that though? Yeah. How did you write that?
But this is a podcast, Jordan. You have to explain to people. What you just did.
Nope, won't do it.
It was thoughtful and creepy at the same time, which is definitely his wheelhouse.
Welcome to my wheelhouse. All right, so this is a playbill from the Schubert Theater, and it's from Some Like It Hot, which the book was written by our amazing guest, Amber Ruffin, and I'm like, she did that.
Yay!
First of all, it's Desert Island Top 3, because
yeah.
I want to be kind to my other favorite comedies, but it's like my favorite comedy.
Aww.
And then for so many reasons, of course, for the final joke. So wife and I went to see the matinee yesterday.
Yay.
I was like, I heard so many good things. Plus you on it was just like icing upon icing. And I was like, I want to hear the Amber moments. I'll let you elucidate on that all the more. But there was a stop in Omaha. You're from Omaha. Okay. I think you snuck in that veggie.
I did.
I love it. And I want to know, how did you approach something like this? Because like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I co-wrote it with Matthew Lopez and they had written it. It was done. And then COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
Something horrible. COVID or 2020, one of the two.
Why do we have to choose?
Porque no los dos. They were like, oh, most of the people are Black. And the main lady is a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no Black woman on the creative team.
Mm.
So then Matthew called me and was like, do you want to help out with this project? I was like, absolutely. And then I did it.
Wow. That's amazing. Did you meet Mark Shaiman?
I did.
Oh, my God. Mark Shaiman, if you don't know, yeah. I mean, set him up, Amber. Like, just let him know.
Let her take a trip.
Take a drink.
Mark Shaiman is one of the best composers, music writers, lyric writers of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's responsible for Hairspray, which is one of the most beautiful shows. Also, I've just spent 3 weeks singing Good Morning Baltimore, which is the opening song for Hairspray, because we were in Baltimore for 3 weeks.
People are so tired of probably hearing that, but I'm like, you can't help but sing that song when you go to Baltimore. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I just want to get popcorn and put Old Bay on it and get nails like Janet Jackson and Poetic Justice.
I've never heard Old Bay seasoning more.
Yeah.
Than the past 3 weeks.
Yes.
My God. And it's physically everywhere. Yeah. And I think that's so fucking funny.
Yeah. The Old Bay is getting old. Can I just take a whole last minute? I don't remember the first time I met Jordan. And I don't remember the first time I met you. I just remember really liking you guys, and that like has turned into love, which I think is so rare.
Yes.
In our line of work, because people be peopling. They get jealous. They get insecure. They get resentful. Whatever it is, it's so rare to like see people still have light behind their eyes and be full of joy and want to celebrate and lift each other up. That's the vibe I always have when I'm in the room with either one of you, which is so fucking fun.
Hey.
Yay.
And this is like, this is just 46-year-old Michelle just like, oh God, do I have to go bra shopping again?
Go, let it rip.
I'm like, the world's always been fucked up, right? Like now I'm just old enough to really know how fucked up it is. Is that what it is? Or is shit getting worse? Like I can't tell anymore.
Oof.
I wonder that once a week. Because remember mommy and daddy? They were like, oh, and everything's terrible. Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, Reagan. And we were like, oh, is it that bad? And then now it's us being like, this is the end of the world. Yes. But is it?
I tell that to my kids all the time. And I just say it's the end of humanity, not the end of the world. And they're like, oh, much better. But yes, and both of you change the molecules around in a room. Have to say this, by the way, Amber, now that I have you on the line. My mother is convinced that you are our cousin. She saw you do your thing at the Ebony 100 where she hosted and killed it, crushed it, almost like about a year ago this time.
Oh, yeah.
It was the blackest night of our lives.
So fun.
Yeah.
The blackest night of our lives. It should just be called the blackest night of our lives.
Super fun. Yeah.
Okay. So to set it up, Amber was the host of the Ebony Power 100, which was like celebrating 100 African-Americans who were dipping it and doing it. And you made several costume changes.
It was great.
And were riffing and crushing. I mean, Quinta Brunson was there.
Garcelle was there.
So many. Spike Lee was there.
Is there a question?
Yeah. No, I wanted to say, like, where your people come from.
Oh, shit.
Because my mom is convinced that we're related.
My daddy is from Portsmouth, Virginia, and mom is from Savannah, Georgia.
That's enough for me. We related.
These are very pretty places.
They're cute people.
They're very pretty places with small airports.
Yeah, bad airports. Great places.
Yeah. I realize probably in my late 30s, I'm really just going to have friends that are around big airports. Mm. That's one thing I kind of realized. You know what I mean? Because I don't really believe in flyover states. I feel like there's a lot of worthy people. But I do love me. Like, I love a good person from a small town. That's fun.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? My dad got a job when I was first born in Nebraska. But my mom had a job in Philly. And so he was like, okay, I'll stay. And so that's why we lived in Philly, New York, and Central Jersey. But like, there was a moment where I was an itty bitty baby and I was about to go to Omaha, which is probably why you wanted steaks in the middle of the day.
Probably. I can get a steak 8 for sure. I'm not good at a lot.
I believe it.
But I'm good at chugging water and chewing steak.
By the way, read your book, the book you wrote with your sister, and so much. We need to talk about Omaha. Like, we need to talk about Kevin. What's up?
Damn.
With Omaha. Like,
it's real.
It's so real.
Yeah.
It's so racialist.
It's part of it.
It's so unremitting. I was like, Omaha, you need to take a smoke break or something. Like,
yeah.
Second title of the book, I'm guessing the working title was like, Omaha, don't go there. Was it like, because it's terrifying.
All right. The first title was, Your Hair is Old and Terrible, because that's a quote from something a lady said to Lacey.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's set this up a little bit more. Go ahead.
There's a book my sister and I wrote, which went on to become a New York Times bestseller. Called You'll Never Believe What Happened to Lacey, Crazy Stories About Racism. And it's just all the funny stories Lacey has about being discriminated against. And it's jaw-dropping. It's jaw-dropping. You would never believe it, except you super do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's it like being the only Black female a lot of times in these situations in Hollywood?
Go on.
It's weirder to not be at this point.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, like, I had my show and we were Black.
Yeah.
But other than that, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Were you like the only Black in class when you were growing up, and that might have like gotten you prepared for this, or was it more like an integrated setting that you grew up in?
I feel like we grew up, maybe it was closer to 50-50 Black and white.
Mm.
Okay.
But then the second I got out of school, man, it became very white.
Yeah.
The world was white. I quickly found out that the world is white.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? Like, I always feel like love is love. I have definitely dated and dipped in I celebrated my body with a lot of different people.
Go on.
Oh, way to say it.
That's what Jordan always calls it, a celebration of bodies. That's why I was just like, Jordan, because he'll never like be it. Like, fucking. It's a celebrating body.
What are you talking? I will say fucking. No, I can't even really say it. I can't.
Oh, God.
You're someone's husband. Yeah. Put yourself together. How dare you?
Snap out of it. But we both landed on men from a country the size of New Jersey. I like to call it Germany Light. Hashtag Netherlands, hashtag Holland, hashtag nobody cares whether we call it the Netherlands or Holland. And it's so funny because I went from like the whitest school to go to Miami just to see some Black, brown, fat, and queer. And then I ended up being married to like the whitest family. And I'm like, how I do it? Like literally, they don't know one black person. They know a brown person. They're a cleaning lady named Fatima in the 80s. Said, well, you talk about her a lot. You can call her up and see how she's doing. But you could do that if you want. Who hot is Fatima? I don't know. I love seeing you in Amsterdam this summer, though. I'm not going to lie. My taint is like a speed bump. The biking.
Oh, yeah.
Is that too much?
The biking, it hurts so bad for like 2 full weeks.
Yeah.
And then it never hurts again.
Because it's sort of dead.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know what happened.
Because you
your
killed
butt
it.
Dies.
Yeah.
Guys. Yeah. My butt is dead.
A nerve has to die. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Because it feels so bad. It feels so much worse than you think.
Yeah.
But you can't be like walking around complaining about it because it's like
you can't.
Your sniz butt.
Yeah. It's like getting the little calluses off of your feet and all of a sudden you're wearing shoes and it's like, oh, this hurts because it's soft.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
Yeah.
It's such a lovely place though. Like, are we moving there together or what, bitch? Because I'm just like, I can't go there and not know no brown titties.
Holland was great.
That's all she'll say.
Why are you staring off in the distance like that? Where's she not even in frame anymore? You know what Holland feels like for me?
What?
It feels like a false sense of security. Shit ain't this nice. Mm. Shit is not this nice and safe all over the place. So if I were to grow up there doing drugs and having fun and being like, of course you could drop your wallet in the woods and somebody would find it and bring it back to you with all the cash. No, they wouldn't. You know what I mean? Of course you can go to naked co-ed spas and just like sit with your crotch out and be completely safe
fucking.
And fall
asleep.
And it's fine?
That's real,
it's real.
And it really happens.
People are okay?
Grown men and grown women.
Okay, go on.
Sit together, butt fucking naked.
Puss out.
In
full ass.
In a steam room.
Pimo out.
Aired out.
Yeah.
Pubis out.
In a steam room.
It's disgusting.
Have you done it yet?
If it was the only place that wasn't on fire, guess what? I would be burnt to a crisp.
Wait, where did Jordan go? He just left. He's running to Holland.
He's like, whoa, nudity? I'll be right back.
He's going to Travelocity.
I'm on skip leg, yeah.
You know what it is? I do love that, like, there's so much that's not sexualized. Do you know what I mean? You could breastfeed your child and someone isn't like, put it away, that's inappropriate, or whatever it is. But then I'm just like, is anybody sexy?
I don't know.
Well, they seem to have a red light district. So it's very kind of like compartmentalized.
Transactional.
Yeah, transactional. Is a lot of life like that in Amsterdam? Is it kind of compartmentalized? Or is that, would you say, not the case?
No, it's just like everyone knows. You know how we're so like easily embarrassed? Like if you trip and fall or something. But in Holland, they're like, everyone does stupid shit, you know?
Mm.
And everyone goes through a phase where you're having a lot of alcohol. Everyone goes through a phase where you're trying to figure out what weed is.
Yeah.
Everyone asks someone out and they go, no. You know, everyone has sex and it's weird and bad sometimes. And everyone just is aware that everyone is the same person. And there isn't, like, in that way, we're the weird ones.
Mm. Yes.
Because we're like, oh my God, look at that idiot. None of us are idiots. We are all idiots. You know what I mean?
Yes. That's such a great way of putting
it. Yes.
I feel like that's their vibe.
It's the ultimate safe space, sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of. A lot of like peripheral people that shall rename. Mm-hmm. Shall name. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Rename. Bye-bye.
Oh, wow. One more time.
Shall remain. Shall remain. You got this. Taking it back.
You got it.
Back to one.
A lot of people I know that shall remain nameless.
Yep. There you go. 100%.
This is why I love live TV, because they can't take back the night. You know, it's sort of just like why are you happy all the time? Why are we smiling? It wasn't that funny. But why would you say it like that when it's not true? Sarcasm, I don't get it. But then... But that's not everybody, but I get that like full on from 7 people.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, relax. But also like the nicest people will always have a bed made for me with a duvet and a very strong coffee and a very like small coffee cup.
Mm-hmm.
And just like actually want to know how I'm doing. So it's very confusing for me sometimes. I can't decide if I want to live there.
Yeah.
Amsterdam.
Oh, Amsterdam. It's a fun place. Great place to have kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I have those.
Yep.
You know, and dogs. And I have those too.
I don't know that it's a great place for dogs. Is it?
It is. They come into restaurants, train. They out there.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. People paint your dog. People be like, can I paint your dog? I want to make a portrait of your dog. Like,
it's great.
Dogs have better lives there than black people. Anyways, Amber, oh my goodness. This is the part of the show where we ask you questions that audience members have written to us because they need help with adulting too. Don't we all? Shit.
Shit, help me.
Okay, help me help you. I mean, we all can't just run in the rain like Drew Barrymore.
Oh.
Ooh, too soon.
That's sensitive subject.
Oh, it's too soon. Oh, it's too soon. Okay, here's the first question. I haven't had sex in a whole year. Is that okay? Am I really missing out as a busy-ass 44-year-old single bitch? Ooh, baby, I know you better set that up. Am I really missing out as a busy-ass 44-year-old single bitch?
That's a great question with the easiest answer.
Oh.
Of course not. If you were missing out, you'd go get it. You're a woman. Sorry, it's very easy to get laid. You could do it in 1 second. If you wanted it, you would have done it by now.
Oh, yeah.
It's not weird that it's not a priority for you.
Yeah.
It's not weird that your priorities don't necessarily match up with everybody else's.
Ooh.
That's not weird. But one thing's for sure. If you wanted it, buddy, you'd have made it. You're a 44-year-old with a job? Please. You'd have made that happen.
I totally agree, but I will say it is weird that you want to have sex. I make love.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Oh, my God. Excuse me.
I think it's weird that you don't want to make love.
Oh, my God.
That you haven't made love in a year.
Oh, my. What in the footloose is going on, Jordan?
He's celebrating bodies.
Yeah. Celebrating bodies. You know, somebody get the sitar out whilst we, you know, do this. Yeah, while we have a meditation of bodies. Do you want to give insights or shall I go to the next?
No, I want to give some insight because the maternal bitch in me is just like, well, then let's get it together. Let's gather it and see if you want to. Why won't we? Like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
But I love your answer, Amber, because when you've been doing something for 20 plus years, it's okay to take a motherfucking break. You're tired, especially when it means something different to you. And, you know, relaxing as a 46-year-old big titty bitch right now is different. Like, relaxing to me truly is just sitting and breathing and thinking. People want to do like a Groupon adventure. I don't need all that. I'm going to say hi and I'm going to, you know, come late, leave early, just be in bed. You know, like what makes me happy, a clean kitchen is just as good as the orgasm because, you know, it's easier at this point to have an orgasm than a clean kitchen. Is that too much? Did I just find the name of our episode?
I think you definitely unearthed the name of our episode. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. What did you say about priorities? I already forgot it. What did you say about priorities, Amber?
I said priorities are like buttholes. They're always behind you. I don't know what I said. I'm sorry. You know, I don't know. I don't know what I said. I thought I could maybe find it if I started talking, but I was wrong.
Where did he go? Jordan, ask the next question, please.
I'm going to do it, but I can't look at Amber right now.
Why can't you look at me, Jordan?
Both of you are staring through my soul and busting me up today. I don't know what it is. It is a goofball day. All right, so I'm an adult who doesn't know how to swim, but I am embarrassed to take swimming lessons. Have you ever seen adults take lessons? How do I get over myself and just go for it?
Aw,
that's cute.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been big or bigger, thicker, whatever it is. And so when I really had to gather myself and get to a gym, I was definitely self-conscious because I'm just like, what's everybody doing? Are they going to be looking at me? And this was in LA, and like LA is whatever you think LA is. And I had to suck it up and, you know, realize it's sort of like when people tell you if you're nervous, picture everybody like naked or taking a shit or whatever. I'm just like, okay, a lot of people must have these feelings too. Like you just don't wake up and decide that you're J-Lo. Like you just have to like go through the steps. And so one thing that helped me was bringing a friend, because that also helped me accountable to actually go through with it. And then also just oversharing, because then like, you know, you're not like, you're not spinning out inside like, oh my God, am I the only one? I can't do it. Just like, oh, I don't know how to do this. How do I do this with my legs? Because my legs don't do it. Whatever it is, like you're going to feel self-conscious about in the swimming pool. And also getting a new bathing suit. So you feel like fun, flirty, you know, like whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I bought new gym clothes to feel a bit more confident going into a new space and doing something different with my body in front of people. So I don't know. Those tips helped me. I hope they help you. What say you guys?
Amber, care to share?
I can't swim. So I'm
was
the wrong
this
person
your
to
question?
Ask.
Amber actually wrote the question. And thank you, Amber, for having the courage to ask it in this medium and forum.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're from a landlocked place. You're from Nebraska. Where? Why would you need to swim in Nebraska?
No swim classes growing up.
Oh, this is what happened. When I was 4 or 5, I had signed up for swim lessons. My parents made everybody take swim lessons. So I'm 5. We get to the swim place. I go and I splash and I'm talking to my little friends. I can remember this very little bit. Splashing around. I'm laughing, playing, having a great time. The teacher goes, okay, now it's time to put our heads underwater. And I go, no!
Yeah.
No! Yeah. And I screech, screech, screech until dad comes down off of the bleachers and he picks me up and he takes me home. I'm freaking out so bad.
Oh my God.
That you can't even talk me back down. You got to take me home. So he comes down and he takes me home. And I go home. The next Saturday comes and he goes, okay, are you going to act right? I go, I'm definitely going to. It is so much fun. I got to be there, Dad. All my little friends are. He's like, all right, go back there, splash around, have a great time. They go, it's time to put your head underwater. I go, no, die! Dad comes down on the thing. So then on the 3rd week, Dad goes, now, if you cry this time, you're going to get a spanking. So either you put your head under that water or you're going to get it.
That's right. That's right.
I said, Dad, I don't know what you're fucking talking about. I'm about to have the time we have. Get there. You know, I splash around having fun. And the guy goes, okay, now it's time to put our heads underwater. And I go, I want a spanking. I want a spanking. Dad has to come down and get me.
Oh, no.
But of course I don't get a spanking. Dad's never going to give you a spanking. It's Dad. I knew that was bullshit.
That's beautiful.
So I don't know how to swim.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm the 5th child. Daddy gave up.
Okay. Michelle has already activated. I can tell that we're both going to end up in a pool with you, like helping you with water wings.
I have a beach in my backyard. Let's go. I know. It's so fun. You know, my parents are from the Caribbean and my dad is like very Haitian in like, it'll work out. Don't worry. It's bleeding. It'll stop bleeding. You don't need a Band-Aid. Yeah. We'll save him for something fancy or something. Yeah. You have a hole in your shirt. You can still wear it. Whatever it is. Meanwhile, he's got new shirts. Okay. But he used to throw me in the water in the beach and like be like, swim to me. And so for me, it was fight or flight. And I would go. And then he kept like going back. And I'm like, you got to stop. You stop so I can get to you. And he's like, this is how you learn. So I kind of learned because I thought I was going to die. Now, you know, it's swimming is like one of those things like riding a bike. Like it hurts when you fall off of a bike when you're little.
Yeah.
It hurts when you're an adult.
Yeah.
Do you want to learn to swim or do you care?
Been a long time.
Yeah.
Also now, like we're beyond wanting to be in public in a swimsuit.
Yeah.
Because there was a time you couldn't get no clothes on me, man. I was out. My shit was out from my ribs to my hip bones. Bare. Fucking.
Do you have receipts?
Why are you looking?
She's looking. She's looking. She's looking to see if she got receipts.
I don't.
Just drop them in the chat.
I don't have any, but I'm going to find some. Yeah. Why the fuck aren't they hanging up when I was the cutest little guy?
I feel you. There's that age where you're like, you know what? There was the window. I would have learned it by now. I can live a full life without this. And I get that.
We only have time for one more question. I have 3 younger sisters that are constantly in a feud about something every other month. Sometimes it's petty things that get resolved quickly and laughed about later, but oftentimes it can be real toxic, backstabbing drama. As the oldest sister and sometimes the mediator, how do I suggest family therapy sessions? Because my head and heart are tired of the back and forth.
Oh.
Oh.
Now, I'm the only child, so I feel for this because I can cut my cousins off, no problem, I don't give a fuck. But I have twins now, and I want to teach them how to forgive because they're going to fight, but how do we get over it? So, like, you guys have siblings. I don't know. Amber, what say you?
That person who wrote in is very smart because they can see that this is an underlying issue.
Yeah.
Like, they're fighting because one of them is the other's favorite. And the other one is mom and dad's favorite.
Damn.
And then the other one does better at school.
Oof.
And then the other one does better at, but like they, it's a whole thing. Like mom and dad praise so-and-so about this and they praise so-and-so about that. And then they want to be praised about what the other one has been, you know, it's all a mess. So they're right. You got to go to therapy. You know, it may work, but I'm so sorry to say it very well may not. Fucking sibling shit is horrid. Sibling shit is rancid.
Aww.
Also, like, I have a friend who is like, so-and-so is my favorite child. He's got two kids and he's always like, so-and-so is my favorite child. And I'm like, no fucking shit. I can tell that's your favorite child.
Oh, so no.
You need to do something. Do it now because I'm not around y'all like that. And if I can tell, you can be sure they both know.
But you're one of five, right, Amber?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to pry, but do y'all get along all the time or is it?
I get along with everybody because they made them be nice to me. But like the other ones, they have a little bit of drama every once in a while.
And the other ones?
Yeah.
And you're the baby.
I'm the baby.
Yeah, you got to get along with the baby.
Be nice to the baby. Give the baby your shirt. You better feed the baby.
You know what's funny? In writers, I've only had the one writer's room. Writer room? Bye-bye, everyone. I'm fine. English is my first language. But trust me. This is what happens when you try to go on tour and have kids. I did to myself.
No, you're doing great.
You're doing great.
You can have it all.
You know, the skin ages well, but the brain don't. You know what I'm saying? But now I forgot what I was saying. Oh, well.
No. Can we go back?
What is it? The siblings? I forget how it started.
I said that you're the baby.
Oh, this is why I like to work with people that have a lot of siblings. Mm-hmm. They're really good at managing different personalities.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you guys can go into any room and just not even like challenge somebody, just be like, it's sort of giving like bless your heart, but not like in that tone. Like, you know how to like get around it and be like, we're okay. And I am learning that. Because I'm just like, well, let's fix it before we move on. And then I'm just like, why am I stuck in this fucking quicksand of drama? How did I get myself in? Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, like you guys are good at it. And so that's sort of like a superpower.
Well, thank you.
I always call it giving the baby his bottle. Because that's my favorite thing to do. Oh, you have a little attitude? I'm going to get in there and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I really like that you said XYZ. I don't think a lot of people think about that. Where are you going to lunch? Oh, man, that sounds great. Looks like you have a really good day ahead of you. Fucking. The baby is fed.
Yes.
Wow.
He is fine. His attitude is gone.
Boom.
Let's go.
Thriving. Can I ask this, though?
Yeah.
I feel like this question, what it brings up for me is, why does the eldest feel as though it's their job to create, you know, a harmony in between all the siblings when, in fact, like, what I've noticed is sometimes if I STFU, stuff will work itself out. It doesn't need me inserting myself into the situation. Like, adults can figure things out for themselves. I'm just saying.
100. I mean, but like, if you've been doing it your whole life, then you're just sort of stuck in this pattern.
Yeah.
Because they did say sometimes it does get resolved quickly and laughed about, but other times it becomes real toxic and backstabbing.
Yeah.
And it hurts their head and their heart. So it's like, how do we break the cycle? And that's why I'm like hyper aware of like what cycle my kids are creating right now.
Yeah.
Because Otis is definitely the brains and Hazel's the muscles. And so.
I love that for them though. I mean, like he's such a sweetie. I have to say he's got a big heart and I'm guessing he's definitely like, he likes to cuddle. He's a cuddler.
He's a cuddler and he likes to tell the truth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, my only advice to this lady is that, or whoever wrote this, I don't know why I'm saying this lady, but whoever wrote this, I feel like family therapy would be good for you to figure out what you've been carrying around for so long, trying to like right the boat for so long. And like, you know, what can you do for you? You're doing a lot for your other siblings. What can you do for you and be the best sister to yourself or brother to yourself?
Yeah. Find a therapist. Talk to your therapist about everybody's personality and see if at some point you can bring your sisters into the therapy session with your therapist, because then they have an arsenal of what the fuck.
And then you can be like, hi, everyone. I need you to be at my therapist for me.
Ooh.
And then bam, hit him with the switcheroo.
Pum, pum, pum. Pum, pum, pum. Yeah. We are amazing. We are angels. I mean,
yay!
Not all heroes wear capes. They sometimes do shows in between moving blankets. Anyways, we ask all our guests, Amber, what is the most adult thing that you want to do for yourself that you haven't done for yourself yet? And it could be anything small, medium, plus size.
Grande.
Venti.
Yeah.
Don't matter what it is.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd really like to get my wardrobe together. Because I'm a slop monster. I mean, fucking, every time my sister comes to visit, she just packs clothes that she thinks I would like and then brings them and leaves them. Because she's like, Amber, you dress like utter trash. It has got to stop.
But who dressed you for that ebony thing? Because you were glamorous.
People dress us. People dress us.
Yeah. If you ever see me looking nice, I didn't do it. Someone else did it. But if you see somebody, you go, is that Amber or did someone just fall out of a tree? That's me.
What?
That's me, and that's how I really look.
Stop.
That is not where I thought you were going.
What the
that
fuck?
Is very not where I thought we were going. Very specific.
Slop monster.
Wow. Slop master?
Slop monster.
Slop monster. Okay, I'm sorry. Important distinction. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but maybe one day I'll go on. Gosh, remember those shows? What Not to Wear.
Yes.
Gox Fashion Fix.
Yes.
I fucking loved those shows.
Yes.
Where they go in.
My favorite.
They take all your clothes. They call you a piece of shit.
Oof.
And then they give you new clothes. I love it. And I want that so bad.
Oof. Yes. It's always like a dress with an A-line situation and like a primary colored pump.
Yay.
To really show your personality. I love it. You know what? I love fashion as well. And I would love to go through your closet and help you.
Somebody got to do something.
Yeah.
And you'll feel like that a little bit. And then the next time you see me, you'll be like, oh God, it's an emergency. And then you'll come help me.
No. You know what's really great now about fashion? There's like an elevated casual thing happening where you can be comfortable as fuck and still like look fly. Like it's my fave.
Yes. I want to be a part of that. You can have joggers with a little cute.
There's like pajama like things we can wear in public now. It's amazing. Anyways, thank you so much for being on the show. You are just a motherfucking delight.
Yes.
In any time zone, bitch.
Yay.
Yep.
I love it.
I just want to say this. I just want to say, like, please go watch Some Like It Hot. It's closing December 30th, 2023. I'm bringing my kids back to it. So good. I loved it. I love the message in it. I love the music. And the dancers are total hoofers. It was Razzle Dazzle. Thank you so much for all that and your service, Amber. Every time I
thank
see you,
it
makes me happier.
If you like that, you know what you're really going to love? The motherfucking Wiz that's coming to Broadway spring 2024.
Come on now. Yes.
This son of a bitch is the shit. It's great. It's great. We're screaming. It's the blackest shit.
I can't wait.
It's so black. I'm like, oh, we got to go to Broadway. Uh-oh. But too bad because they get me.
I can't wait.
Yay!
Amber, thanks so much. That was special, don't you think?
That was special. You know what? I just love our community.
Yeah, it's a strong community. And every year it seems like they defy not my expectations, but it's just like to watch someone's star build and build and build, that the promise of their premise pays off like that. Like with Amber, just so talented. And her talent is like rewarded because she just brings it more and more every year. It's amazing.
Yeah, The Wiz is going to be spectacular. Like I just love Black Ass Fuck Productions, which should be the name of a production company and or promoter in Atlanta. Black as Fuck Productions.
This has been another Black as Fuck production.
You know what's really fun too? It's like there are so many young, not so young, budding comedians and writers who are just like, what am I going to do? Is this really going to happen? How am I going to make it happen? And it's like, it doesn't have to be just the one thing. It doesn't have to be straight up stand up. It doesn't have to be just hosting. You know, when you really give yourself the space, opportunity, and license to write and just fuck around and find out, you don't know what could happen. Even if it doesn't go anywhere, you've already like laid down the groundwork for you to do something else. And you know this, when you write something, there's different drafts of it and it only gets better and better and better. But the hardest thing to do is just lay it down for the first time.
Whew. Words, bars, total agreement, 100%. I'm with you.
Move over, Mos Def.
No.
Just kidding, just kidding, just kidding.
I clear and leave space.
I know. My Umi said to say that.
My Umi says shine a light on the world. Let me just say this.
Yeah.
I feel that like, one, as you were saying all that, I was like, is she going to play Dorothy and the Wiz? Is that something you would be interested in, Michelle?
Me? No.
Yes.
No.
Come on. Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
Why?
No.
Why?
No. You know.
Let's take that no and turn it into a yes.
And turn it into a so-so?
Let's see what's up.
No, that's not my bag. That is not my bag. Although I do love sort of beating something into the ground and just doing it 7,000 times because I do find the joy in it. But like, that's not my bag.
It's not your bag.
Singing and dancing on stage is not my bag. Impressions on SNL, not my bag. I think that's also very important for people to, whether you're in the arts, whether you're creative or not, like figure out what your bag is. It could be more than one thing. Mm. You know, when I first started, I was like, I'm supposed to go to festivals and I'm supposed to be on SNL and I should wear a black shirt.
Yeah.
With jeans at every show because that's what comedians wear. And for the first year, I looked like a fucking hairdresser. It was just black shirts and jeans. And then I was like, oh, I can actually have my own personality
right
on stage. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's not my bag. That's somebody else's bag. You know, I'm not a musical theater nerd like that, but I do appreciate those people because a lot of them are my friends. But nah.
Yeah. Figure out your bag. Is it a Celine? Is it a Claire V? A Gooch? Is it a Fendi? Is it what? Like, and yes, he knows his bags. He knows his bags because he bought them. Oh,
oh boy.
Oh boy.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know if everyone else is like full up of dad jokes. I know I am. You know, every podcast episode with you, I feel like I'm living a Father's Day. I'm like, okay, let him take it. It's his moment. Let's go. You guys, why I'm so sorry this is a podcast because they can't see you right now. Jordan is doing a happy dance with like his fingers out. He's pointing his fingers. He's shaking his shoulders. Oh my goodness. You're even biting your upper lip.
What is wrong with that? That is the dad upper.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just letting people know because it's a podcast.
It's my overbite.
I'm just letting them know.
It's my sexy overbite. Come on, y'all. Oh my,
we're just going to keep talking at the same time. This feels like I'm at home with my husband. Okay. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Oh my
Listen,
God.
Listen, this has been adulting. I love this show. My co from Gomez Shelby Toe, who co-hosts with me in the same space, but not the same room. I love her so much. Michelle, is there anything you want to tell the people before we get out of here?
I don't know. You know, I think this sounds really stupid, but I really am in this space of gratitude doing this tour, meeting faces, people asking us about adulting and like when we're going to take it on the road. I'm just fucking thankful. Like, thank you guys for listening and liking and loving and sharing or whatever the fuck it is. Like, I really appreciate it. That's all. That's it. That's the end. Yes. You all right?
You have made me laugh.
Did you just burp in your mouth?
No.
Okay, good.
I've stifled laughter this entire show because a lot of people don't like us laughing on a comedy.
Oh, don't bring it up.
So I've been stifling
Every
my laughter.
Every time we bring that up, I feel like Ace Ventura laces out. Somebody said one time.
I know.
They don't like us laughing. I know. And then we like focus on it.
Like 99.9% of the reviews for this show are like, keep it up. You guys are great. One person was like, they laughed and it was triggering. And we're like, that's all they think of us.
I know. It's so stupid. But also, fuck them.
Yes. Yes.
I think we should get out on that. We're going to get out on it.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Bye.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Our senior producer is Jiha Lee.
Our associate producer is Christina Chamberlain.
This episode was mixed by John Bradley.
Our guest booker is Patrick Kottner.
Additional production support from Hannah Kyle Crichton.
Theme song and live show DJing is by DJ Don Will.
Our live show producer is Marianne Ways.
Artwork by Jamie Bechtel.
Photography by Gijs Vandermost.
Executive produced by Karen Kilgariff, Georgia Hardstark, and Danielle Kramer.
Follow the show on Instagram at AdultingThePod.
Email your questions to adultingquestions@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Adulting with Michelle Buteau and Jordan Carlos on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show and visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase adulting merch.